Hello, everyone, and thank you, Lori. I enjoyed the last little bit, which I got to hear. I hope everyone is having a happy Easter. We went to the Abbey today for Easter buffet. That was nice. We'd never done that before. Some of you, I think, have been to the Abbey because we've had a few retreats there. The Choose Again retreat there, a silent retreat there, and the Miracles in the Mountains retreat there. So some of you know that place. What I'm going to do is just start by playing a song. I downloaded a whole bunch of new songs the other day, and I haven't even got to listen to all of them yet. This one is by someone named Kathy Robel, and it is called Artist of My Soul. So the title captures my attention. I've not yet listened to the song. So why don't we listen to it together while we practice stillness. Sweet song of surrender. Well, we are here now for the seven steps to awakening. And last week I was sharing from quote 639, and it seems like I spent quite a bit of time with quote 639 because there are several journal entries. And last week we looked at journal entries A, B, C, and D. So tonight we will start with journal entry E. Let me share that link with you in the room. There you are. That's the link to my journal. Of course, I'll also be reading from the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. If you have that and you want to read along with me in the book, we'll start on page 110 with quote 639. But if you also want to read along with me in the journal, you'll use that link that I have just provided. And if anybody's listening on the radio, you can go to rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com, and that seven is a digit. It's not spelled out. rda7stepsjournal.wordpress.com. And then when you get there, you'll click on the step three on the menu bar and find the numbering sequence that will let you find your way to 639. And you'll also be able to find 639E in that list of numbers. And so you can join us at 639E. Let me read quote 639 to you. If this sounds familiar, it's because we read it a number of times last week. We're spending a lot of time with this one quote. This one quote is from Yoga Vasistha. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. So that's the quote that we're looking at. And I'm going to start right now by reading from 639E. One is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. Resting peacefully in the heart, content with isness and filled with joy, one gives the gift of peace, contentment, and joy. And what I'm doing right now is I'm actually reaching for the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, NTI. And I'm going to share a little bit from NTI Luke chapter 9, because as I was reading this just now, that's what popped into my mind, was NTI Luke chapter 9. So I think I'll be doing some teaching from that, and then we'll come back and look at this journal entry again. So if you have NTI and you want to read along, I'm going to be starting on page 144 in NTI. Everyone who reads my word, listens to my word, and practices my word, teaches my word. There can be no exception. You who are reading this now are my holy teacher. Do not let this make you afraid. Do not worry about what is expected of you based on this assignment. Nothing is expected of you except one thing, that you listen to me. Do not worry where you are to go, what you are to do, what you are to say, or to whom. Do not worry how you are to teach. I may have you teach without speaking a single word. Actually, I read that wrong because I looked away. I may have you teach without a single spoken word. Same meaning, but I put the words in a different order. Give no thought to the future. Give no thought to how you are to teach or when or where. Only give thought to listening to me and practicing as I ask you to practice. In this way you do teach, and the lesson you teach is heard throughout the world. So what these first few paragraphs of NTI Luke chapter 9 are telling us is whatever we contemplate in our mind is literally heard throughout the world. It rings within the mind of man, and even more than man, to be perfectly honest. It rings within the mind of the universe, which is more than just humans. And what's being asked here is that we become the teacher of the Holy Spirit, or we could say the teacher of inner wisdom if we don't want to use Christian terms, by spending all of our time contemplating and practicing in whatever way inner wisdom is asking us to contemplate and practice. So, for example, if we have guidance to practice awareness, watching awareness, and yet we don't seem to have the kind of life where we can sit in that physical practice of awareness, watching awareness all of the time, then as we go about our day, in whatever way we feel guided to, we want to make sure that we are, well, I call it checking for awareness. That's just my term. It's a silly term maybe, but what I do multiple times throughout the day, you know, today I was focused on some tax things that I needed to be focused on. So I was focused on reading tax laws and things like that. And what can happen when I get focused on trying to learn new tax laws, because I'm not an accountant or a lawyer, and that can be very difficult for me, is that if I am only focused on that, I also accidentally get focused on my thoughts about how hard this is and why can't they make this simpler for average people like me? You know, I'm not dumb, and if I don't understand it, certainly other people don't understand it, and all that kind of thinking can start to happen, which is really grievance-based thinking. And if I'm not checking for awareness, what happens is awareness as attention goes into those thoughts in an unconscious way, and I start feeling frustration, you know, maybe even anger or grievance, annoyance, something along those lines. But if I pause and I check for awareness, what I mean by check for awareness is I notice awareness as present now in the same way that it's always present. I notice awareness as present now, absolutely changeless. Awareness is not frustrated. Awareness just is. And when I check for awareness and I shift into being aware of awareness, that takes me out of accidentally projecting awareness into those thoughts. And so instantly, there's no more frustration. Instantly, as the awareness almost seems to come into the foreground. It doesn't really come into the foreground, but it seems to come into the foreground because now the attention is with awareness. And then somehow it can still look at the task, but it's looking, I'm going to say, through awareness or through awareness of awareness, because awareness was always there. It's looking through awareness of awareness instead of looking through the mind. And of course, the mind still has to be used because the mind is the tool that reads the tax laws and you know, either understands or gets an idea about where to look in order to get a better understanding or whatever. But there's a calmness that comes about now. Just because of the shift into awareness and being aware of awareness. Now, what NTI Luke chapter 9 is saying is that when I am doing that, when I am being aware of awareness, consciously being aware of awareness, I am teaching who we are throughout the mind of man, even though I'm sitting alone at my kitchen table trying to figure out some new things about taxes that I didn't need to know until now. Of course, the flip side of that is when I'm frustrated and judging and thinking it should be different than it is, those types of messages are also being taught in the mind of man, or the mind of the universe as a whole, not just man. So what NTI Luke 9 is asking us to do is to consciously be the teacher of the Holy Spirit, or constantly be the teacher of the right mind, or constantly be the teacher of the truth, by catching ourselves and shifting into whatever practice is our current spiritual practice. You know, our current spiritual practice could be being aware of awareness, but our current spiritual practice could be focusing on today's Course in Miracles lesson, or focusing on today's daily quote from Awakening Together, or practicing self-inquiry, or saying a mantra, or something else. But NTI Luke 9 is asking us, regardless of what we're doing, to stay with our practice. Because it's through our practice that we teach the entirety of what we are to look toward truth instead of to look toward falsehood. And that's why it says, only give thought to listening to me and practicing as I ask you to practice. In this way, you do teach, and the lesson you teach is heard throughout the world. And then it continues, there is fear in your mind, and so it will bring doubt that you do as I ask you to do. It will bring doubt that you are the one I ask to do these things. Do not listen to your doubt. It is to you that I am speaking. You who are reading these words, and I will add you who are listening to these words. You who are reading these words without exception for any reason, you are the one. So anyone who is reading this or anyone who is hearing this is the one that's being asked to focus ourselves on our spiritual practice, no matter what it is that the body seems to be doing. And when we focus ourselves on the spiritual practice, no matter what it is that the body seems to be doing, we are teaching truth throughout the mind of the universe. NTI continues, you do not understand the power in your mind. That power is unspeakable in your world, for it cannot be described. But know this, every thought that you accept teaches within the mind of man. And this means accept as true. This isn't accept as in accept or resist. This is accept as in you accept it in and digest it. You know, you accept it and digest it as true. Every thought that you accept teaches within the mind of man. The single mind that you are is taught through the thoughts that you agree to think. And this is how you are to teach the world. Although I may guide you to speak, it is not through your speaking that you teach. Although I may guide you to go or do, it is not through your going or doing that you teach. To speak to those, or to go here, or to do that, would be to limit your teaching to a few. You who are unlimited within yourself cannot be limited by restrictions such as these. So it must not be through your speaking or your going or your doing that you teach. And that's interesting, of course, because usually when we think about teaching, we think about, well, you know, like right now I'm speaking and there's maybe 17 people in the room. There's 17 names here. Maybe there's a few more on the radio. And during the week, maybe some more will listen to this audio. And you know, we think that those people, the 17 in the room here, the ones on the radio, the ones who listen to the recording later, these are the ones who are, quote, being taught by my teaching. But what this is saying is that's not true. That's too limiting. If I am willing to teach by staying focused on my spiritual practice, Even when I'm alone, I'm teaching throughout the entire universe. And of course, that's true for all of us. There's no limit in our teaching. So this act of teaching is not the teaching that's being spoke about. It's the focus of our attention. That's the teaching that's being spoken about. NTI continues, every thought that you think is heard literally around the world. The consciousness of man is shaken by your every thought. And so it is through thought that you teach, no matter what you are saying or doing, and no matter where you are. And so I say to you again, dear teacher, listen to me. Remember my words and practice all that I say. The fish that you eat feeds a multitude of men. And of course, this is the reinterpretation of one of the stories in the Bible about Jesus feeding, 5,000 from just a few fish or a few loaves of bread. And so as we seem to be, maybe teaching a few, if we're doing the teaching action, or if we're just sitting alone contemplating all by ourselves and we don't appear to be teaching anyone, it multiplies like the loaves and the fishes. And it is literally heard around the world, this says. NTI continues, you are the Christ because the Christ of God is within you, and it is Christ that is your true self. This is the health within. This is the light that shines its healing rays throughout your mind, shining away all sickness in every form. Peace be with you, my brother, for you are the Blessed One. Put your faith with me, focused upon your reality. It is this reality we seek to remember. Do not be afraid of what must come before you are to remember. There is nothing that can hurt when your mind stays focused with me. I am your constant companion, and I lead you through all things. A vision of light is within your mind. To know this light, you must only ask to remember it, for the light is with you always. If you feel afraid or doubtful or desperate for love, all that you need do is quiet yourself and ask for light. It cannot fail to appear within your mind at your request. It is always there to comfort you and to shelter you. And as I mentioned, when doing the taxes, if not paying attention to awareness, then the mind gives attention to the thoughts. This is too hard. Why can't they make this simpler? And frustration is felt. But then, if there's a remembrance to check for awareness and to notice awareness as it is, to notice it for what it is, as what I am, everything shifts in that noticing. And awareness is always here. Try to run away from it. Run as far as you can. You can't get rid of it. You can't run away from it, no matter what. And so it's always here, and it's always its wonderful, non-judgmental, loving self. And so we can turn our attention to it in any moment, and that shifts everything. The comfort is always there. The comfort of remembering the truth is always available. NTI continues, do not turn away from the light. Do not be afraid that you nag it with your requests. It is there for you to serve you through your every moment of need. That may sound silly. Do not be afraid that you nag it with your requests. But I think that's there because I actually used to have that fear. I don't know if you guys remember, but I used to go within and ask Holy Spirit questions, sometimes asking two or three questions a day. which actually is not that much. But somehow there was this feeling, this ego idea, of course, that I was going to Holy Spirit too often, that I should be more independent. And this is saying, that's not true. You know, you can't nag it with your requests. And in fact, later, as you know, the teachings of Inner Ramana came, and Inner Ramana has us going in and asking about everything, never stopping the asking. How am I to see this? How am I to think? What am I to say? What am I to do? How am I to respond? Like, never stop the asking. And so this idea that I was nagging it by asking it two or three questions a day and looking for its wisdom was a silly idea. So do not turn away from the light. Always keep going within. Keep looking. Keep surrendering. Keep practicing in whatever way. Do not turn away from the light. It is there for you to serve you through your every moment of need. You will not be healed by following the ways that make sense to you. Following what makes sense to you has brought you to the point of needing healing. And so it cannot be healing itself. That's an interesting little paragraph. Because, you know, all of us, as long as we believe the mind at all, there's certain things, certain ideas, certain points of view that make sense to us. And this is saying, don't trust that. Don't trust what makes sense to you. It's you following your better judgment that has brought you to this point of needing healing, of needing awakening. So stay surrendered in all things. Do not turn away from the light. To be healed of the thoughts that are foreign but seem natural to your mind, you must put your healing in my hands. Give yourself over to me. Let go of any resistance you feel towards this thought. Remember that the result of giving yourself to me is your own healing. You will be returned to your Father, so rejoice. The time is now. Place yourself fully and completely in my hands. And as I read that paragraph, that reminds me of the song that I played at the beginning of the hour. You know, I told you that that song to me was a sweet song of surrender. And the name of the song was Artist of My Soul. And she was basically surrendering so much. You know, she was saying, you know, you be the artist of my soul. You write my soul in whatever way you want my soul to be written. You move through me, you know, you let me dance with the Holy Spirit. You move through me and let me dance with the Holy Spirit. And a beautiful, beautiful song of surrender, just surrendering the personal self completely and letting, you know, what we call God be the only movement, the only speaking that happens. And that's what this paragraph is asking us to do. It says, give yourself over to me. Let go of any resistance you feel towards this thought. Remember that the result of giving yourself to me is your own healing. You will be returned to your Father. So rejoice. And being returned to our Father is a symbol of awakening to our truth. You will be returned to your Father. So rejoice. The time is now. I laugh at that because sometimes, you know, there's this thought, well, tomorrow I'll start doing that, you know, or next week I'll start doing that. Or after I, you know, get these taxes figured out and get this done, then I'll start doing that. But this says the time is now. Place yourself fully and completely in my hands. I have asked you to be a teacher of my word, and I am grateful for your willingness to teach as I ask. And now you must listen to the secret of teaching. A teacher is a student who practices all that he teaches, knowing fully that the message he shares is also for him. In this way, anyone may be a teacher of my word, for anyone may choose to be the student. And the student is the teacher. For the teacher comes through the student in order that the student may learn. And again, remember, we're the teacher, not by teaching, you know, like I am now, not by this formal act of teaching, although that can happen too, but with a teacher, by keeping our attention with purpose all of the time, with practice all of the time, with surrender of self-will all of the time, you know, by staying that humble student of the present moment and of the inner wisdom that is there for us to guide us in the present moment. It's through being the humble student that we actually are the teacher. Because wherever our attention is, that is being taught within the entire universe. Always remember that as the teacher, you are the student. So all things are given to you for your learning. In this way, see all things as an opportunity to learn and to practice and be grateful for all things. There is nothing that we placed in your path that is not a gift from me. See it as your gift, and you are blessed indeed. So everything that comes, even, you know, taxes that we can't figure out, is a gift just to help us practice more, better, more deeply, to surrender more, better, more deeply, to let go more, better, more deeply. You know, there's nothing that we can be given that doesn't have that purpose. There's nothing that can happen in our day, our week, our month, our year that doesn't have that purpose. So everything is a gift to help us become a better practicing student and therefore a better teacher. To be my teacher, you must let my word be first in your mind in all things. This is a perspective you shall hold. Through holding this perspective in willingness and trust, you shall know what to do through me. All right, so I will put NTI aside. And we'll go back and look at this 639E and see what that has to do with this quote or with this journal entry. But right from the very first line, one is never alone. Now we can see really what that means. One is never alone. Even while alone doing tax work, wherever that attention is, whether it's with the thoughts of, oh, this is too hard, it shouldn't be this way, it should be different, why can't they make these things easier for normal people? Whether it's with that or whether it's with awareness. You know, awareness, watching awareness, recognizing awareness, checking for awareness. Noticing that changeless, perfect love state that is present, right? Whichever one I am focused on, although I appear to be alone at the table doing that, I'm not alone. Because whichever one I am focused on is teaching in the mind of the universe. I am never alone. This is very important for us to realize. It's very helpful if we choose to take it on without judgment or guilt. And we choose to accept the invitation given in NTI Loop 9 to be the teacher of the Holy Spirit or the right mind or the inner wisdom. Because then every time we catch ourselves having drifted into thoughts that are based on the ego, the self-centered thoughts, we can kind of wake ourselves up from that and return our attention to our spiritual practice. And when we do that, we can know that we're actually, in a way, even though I appear to be sitting alone at my kitchen table doing taxes, I'm actually being helpful to everyone right now. Because my mind is with the spiritual practice. One is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. So those two lines are extremely clear now, right? Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. Well, for lack of better words, that's the flip side of the same coin. So if I don't wake myself up to awareness when I slip into frustration while doing taxes, If I stay with that frustration, I mean, let's look at those energies. You guys can probably imagine these energies. Maybe at some time you felt frustration with something, whether it was doing taxes or replacing a toilet or whatever. You've probably felt frustration with something. Imagine those energies that you feel when you really are frustrated. You think it shouldn't be this way. There's maybe a little bit of a victim feel in that, right? There's some judgment. There's some grievance in that. There's wishing it was different. You know, at the very least, we have these energies. Now look at those energies being cast out into the world. Michael Singer talks about painting the canvas of the world with your energies. Well, let's just look at one of those energies. You know, it should be different than it is. It should be different than it is. It should be different than it is. Isn't that what ISIS is saying right now with everything they're doing? That it should be different than it is? That everyone should not only be Muslim, be their type of Muslim. You know, I even saw once where they said something like, rejoice, unpure, you know, and then I can't remember the rest of it, but the idea was like, for you shall be white from the face of the earth. You know, so why would they say rejoice, impure, for you shall be wiped from the face of the earth? Unless they thought that this was for the best. It should be different, and rejoice, it's going to be different. Right? You see what that energy can do? So let's look at this line again. Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. When we were looking at the first two lines, one is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. When we were with those two lines, what I said is, you know, you could feel inspired by these lines. To know that if you catch yourself and you bring yourself back to your spiritual practice, you can feel inspired by knowing when you're focused on your spiritual practice and you're really keeping your attention with that purpose, that you're teaching that in the entire mind of man. You're being helpful to everyone. How wonderful is that? The light is literally spreading through where you are placing your attention. But the opposite of that is also true. If we're placing our attention with these strong ego energies, those strong ego energies are manifesting in the world in all kinds of ways, ways we're not even aware of. And a part of what looking at these two side by side hopefully does is it begins to lead us to question, where do I want my attention throughout my day? Now, one mistake that sometimes people make, and I definitely am not recommending this mistake, is they judge themselves for the attention they give the ego. And that's not helpful. That's just more ego. But what is helpful is every time you notice that you're giving your attention to your ego, you say, ah, that's not what I want to do. I want to do this with my attention. And you shift your attention into whatever your spiritual practice is. One recommendation that I often make to people is that they have an inspirational thought from their morning. And first of all, I recommend to people that in the morning they start their day with some type of contemplation, spiritual reading, meditation. Start your day with your connection to God. And then out of that, it's very likely that you'll get what Jesus would call your daily bread. Something, some thought will occur to you, or you'll read some thought, or maybe you're assigned some thought because you're doing the course workbook and the thought is literally assigned to you. But something comes for you to really stay with throughout the day. And I always recommend to people write that down and, you know, stick that in your back pocket and pull it out multiple times through day and review it. So like if you catch yourself, you're doing taxes and you catch yourself focusing on thoughts of frustration and victimhood and it should be different, all energies that we don't want to paint in the world, you just say, shoot, slipped into that again, don't want to do that. What was that thought this morning? You pull it out and you read it. You know, maybe it's something like this. Oh, Holy Spirit, you have given me so many gifts. and now I choose to return them all to you. I shall give as you have asked. I shall be in the thought of you. Today I choose the path of awakening as the only path I walk today. Right? You know, maybe you just read something like that. And then you sit in that for just a moment. You close your eyes. You be still. You feel your heart. You remember. And then you continue from there, staying in that remembrance. Right? So when you find that you're in the ego, you don't judge yourself for that. You don't tell yourself how bad you are, what a loser you are. You just shift. And it's helpful to have a tool right at your fingertips to help you shift. One is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. Resting peacefully in the heart, content with isness and filled with joy, one gives the gift of peace, contentment, and joy. You see? It's exactly the same as NTI Loop 9, just much, much shorter. In fact, maybe this is the thought that you want to start with. Maybe this is the thought that you want to write down and put in your back pocket to remind you to shift out of that ego, which is not destructive to the self because the self is unaffected. But as Jesus would say in A Course in Miracles, it is destructive in time. And we really don't want to spend our time with it. And the only time that we spend our time with the ego is when we're in a self-centered point of view. I mean, listen to those ideas around the taxes. Who was I thinking about? This should be easier for me, right? They should make it easier for me, right? Self-centered thinking. And so we want to shift out of self-centered thinking into resting peacefully in the heart, content with isness, and filled with joy. And right, isness is still present even while doing the taxes. Whether they can be figured out or not, I can check in with isness, notice isness, and shift. So let me read 639E again, and then we'll continue. One is never alone. What one gives to himself, he gives to everyone. Time spent in mental busyness makes all of the suffering the world has ever known. Resting peacefully in the heart, content with isness, and filled with joy, one gives the gift of peace, contentment, and joy. So now I'm going to scroll down to the bottom of the page and click on 639F. And this looks like is our last journal entry for quote number 639. Let me read 639 to you one more time from the Seven Steps to Awakening. When the mind is absorbed in the infinite consciousness, there is supreme peace. But when the mind is involved in thoughts, there is great sorrow. The restlessness of the mind itself is known as ignorance or nescience. It is the seat of tendencies, predispositions, or conditioning. Destroy this through inquiry, as also by the firm abandonment of contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. And it's interesting because when lost in the wrong mind today, I was also in contemplation of objects of sense pleasure. An object of sense pleasure being easier taxes, right? Easier tax forms. By the way, I think I did find an easy solution. Just prior to coming here, so I'm happy about that. All right, so 639F says, busyness of mind is idle imagination, distraction from truth. Stay with the heart, be devoted to truth, and let all else go. One thing that really jumps out at me when I read this journal entry is the word idle. Because idle, doesn't idle mean, it's like it's doing nothing? Like when the car is idle, it's just kind of sitting there, it's not really going anywhere. Busyness of mind is idle. Imagination, it's not really going anywhere. You know, we just said in 639E that it's the cause of all of the suffering in the world. So why do we say it's idle imagination if it's the cause of all of the suffering in the world? Well, this, of course, this last journal entry is pointing out that the truth is not affected. The truth still is. The truth is present right now in this very moment, no matter what suffering appears to occur. The truth is still here. If you think of Jesus on the cross, for example, and this is a popular weekend, a lot of people have been contemplating Jesus on the cross. And if you think of Jesus on the cross, you know, that was, as we're told, meant to be suffering. The whole crucifixion process was designed for suffering prior to death. And so when that much suffering is present, you know, being beaten, having nails through your hands and feet, hanging from a cross. And I've read details about what happens inside the body with crucifixion. I don't remember, but there's things that are going on with your internal organs that aren't pleasant. I've forgotten the details. But, you know, all of that is happening for you. If all of that is happening for you, does that mean the truth is not present because now there's too much suffering? And the suffering then is just, the suffering is more real, so the truth is lost? But what did Jesus teach? Who did Jesus teach from the cross? Did he teach that the truth was lost? And we all know the answer to that. He did not teach that the truth was lost, right? The truth was present. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Right? The truth was still present in that moment. Love was still present in that moment. You know, I used to have a belief in my mind that suffering was more real than truth. And when I discovered that belief in my mind and I realized how that had been driving me from kind of behind the scenes in an unconscious way, I was very happy to see it. And I gave my willingness to let go of it. I mean, what else do you do? You can't like say, okay, from now on, I won't believe that. Or maybe you can, but I can't, because if it's believed, it's believed, right? But I gave my willingness for that belief to be gone. And recently, I've had a very interesting experience. I spoke a little bit about it at the end of the week last week, but not too long ago, I had an experience of flying off a horse and hitting the ground. And when I flew off that horse and I hit that ground, the pain in my body was more than I've felt in this lifetime. It was great pain. And yet what happened is I was laying there on the ground, and it happened very automatically, very spontaneously, as I checked for awareness. And I noticed awareness was unaffected. And then I must have just stayed with that awareness because I was on a horseback riding tour, and the guide came up, and you could see on his face that he felt horrible, which of course most guides would. That's, you know, the normal ego way to respond to something like that. You could tell that he felt horrible, and I looked up at him and I said, "Do you feel bad? Don't feel bad. This just happened." And for the rest of that day, my body was in great pain. And I still went with my family. We went to Four Corners. I walked very, very funny because of the great pain. But I walked around with my family at Four Corners. I had to step onto a cooler to get in and out of the Jeep. I couldn't step my leg up that high. But, you know, we just made do. And the next morning I got up and, going to bed was really hard. For some reason, getting in bed and laying down was extremely difficult. But see, through this whole thing, my smile never disappeared. My awareness never disappeared. My spiritual practice didn't end. I didn't get lost in the suffering. And you know, that's a That's a wonderful thing, because once upon a time I had a belief in my mind that when the physical suffering was great enough, well, I mean, the way to word it, it really is that there was this belief that really the truth was still a fantasy, and that what proved the truth was a fantasy was physical suffering. That's really the way the belief showed up. So when physical suffering was present, all thought of truth would be lost naturally, because now the truth, suffering, was here, and you couldn't pretend that there was another truth. But through this experience with the horseback riding accident, I got to find out that that willingness I gave to let go of that belief had caused some kind of a shift, because now there was greater physical pain than I've ever felt, and yet there was joy, there was checking with awareness, the spiritual practice continued, nothing changed. The pain was still there. I don't want to pretend like I didn't feel pain, but the pain somehow was, this is very hard to describe, because the pain was present, but it was also background. And I suppose that's because it was background to my attention. I realized that if I wanted to, I could focus on how much my ribs hurt, how much my wrist hurts, how much my back hurts, how much my bum hurts. And I probably could have put all of my attention into that, and probably that pain would have come very much into the foreground. But because that's not where I put my attention, the pain was there. But it wasn't in the foreground. It was more in the background. So the reason I'm saying all of this is we're looking at 639F, and I was focusing on that word, idle. Busyness of mind is idle imagination, distraction from truth. So when I had the belief that suffering was real, and then suffering would happen, all of my attention would go into that suffering, and I was completely distracted from the truth, but it was completely present. Just like it was completely present with Jesus on the cross, and just like it was completely present with me during the horseback riding accident. So the reason it's called an idle imagination is that although that imagination can appear very, very strong, we can suffer in great, 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 great ways. And the crucifixion is an excellent example of that. It's still idle imagination because the truth is unchanged. And it's always present, and it's always there. So if we learn to practice whatever our spiritual practice is, whatever we're called to, if we learn to practice consistently, 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 and every time we notice our mind has shifted into the old conditioned way of thinking, we bring it back to whatever our spiritual practice is, and we just keep doing our best. You've heard the statement, your best gets better. Well, it does. And pretty soon, we are staying with our spiritual practice so much that we're more aware of the truth or the right mind than we are of the things of the world that are presently happening. Because the truth is unaffected by the things of the world that are presently happening. You see, their idle imagination. They're not doing anything to the truth. They're not affecting the truth. So we are either paying attention to the truth, or we're paying attention to the world. And we will experience the most in the foreground what we pay attention to. We can pay attention to that idle imagination that can come up with all kinds of scenarios and all kinds of suffering. And we can experience it fully by letting our attention go all the way into it. So we can realize that no matter what it is, no matter what the current story is, no matter what the current circumstance is, the truth is here unchanged, unaffected, and we can keep our attention with it. Busyness of mind is idle imagination, distraction from truth. Stay with the heart. Be devoted to truth and let all else go. And that ends our reading of 639. So 2 whole weeks contemplating 639. And I don't feel like starting 640 right now. So since I did download a bunch of songs, all of which I haven't really, well, I've listened to a few of them a little, but most of these songs that I've downloaded, I haven't listened to yet. So I'm going to listen to another one now. We'll do that for the next 4 minutes. Here's a song that's about 4 minutes long. I might have to end it a little early. It's called Speak to My Heart, and it's Tatiana Mayfield.
Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark nights will fade away if you speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love. Encourage me, lifting my heart, lifting my heart, oh, have love, encourage me, my heart, speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, give me the words that will bring new life, words on the wings of the let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your whole,
give me your holy word.
I can't hear you
if I can never
know
you.
What to say.
I won't
hear what I never go on my own.
Just let your spirit guide.
Guide.
Heard that song before, just not with this artist, and so I didn't realize the song was. So it started and then I knew. But she does do it a little differently, too, you know, as artists do. So it was very nice to hear that song. I downloaded 32 songs the other day, almost by their title alone, but I did listen to small samples, you know, in iTunes before downloading them. But that means I have 32 new songs to enjoy and get to know. So I'm sure I'll be sharing some of those with you when I have the opportunity. So that's it for me. I'm going to go now, and I'll be back at 10 p.m. Eastern Time to go over the daily contemplation along with you. So I'll see you then. Bye.